Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, Vital Signs, from the series Walk Your Talk, exploring how God provides spiritual signs to gauge your faith. Before we get started with today's teaching, though, we invite you to check out PastorJeff.com to find more resources to help you grow in your walk. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
When you or a loved one go to visit a doctor or go to the emergency room, one of the first things that they do is gather your vitals. They're called vital signs. They'll take your temperature. They'll potentially take your blood pressure. They'll check your pulse. They'll look at your respiratory rate because they have metrics based upon those four areas to see how are you doing. Is your temperature too high? Is it too low? Are you going the right way? It's to help keep you alive. Even when you go to the doctor's office and nothing is an acute problem, they check these things out just to make sure that you're on the right track to health. God in His Word, from time to time, does those very things. He gives us some vital signs that we can check to see how's your faith doing. Is it alive or is it dead? Where are you on that spectrum? And how can you respond to what God wants you to know? And I think it's important, and I'm so grateful to our God that He gives us these signs so that we can know, because too often what we want to do is, when it comes to our faith and wanting to know if we're saved or not, we like to go ask somebody else. We like to ask, am I really saved? Did I do it right? Did I pray the right prayer? Am I doing the right things? How do I know for sure? Some of us who are younger don't think about our death that much, and that's good. Some of us who are older think about it all the time. That's not so good. But inevitably, all of us know inherently that we're going to die and stand before the Lord. And so inside of our hearts, God has set eternity in our hearts. Wouldn't it be good to know what those vital signs are? Wouldn't it be good to know if God gives you a spiritual checkup and says, you're doing well? Wouldn't it be good to know if God gave you a spiritual checkup and said, you're not doing so well? When a doctor comes back and gives us a report that's good, we're thankful that it's good, but we're not thanking the doctor for making it good. He's just reporting back to us what he's found. If the doctor comes back and says, it's not looking good, we don't blame the doctor. We recognize it's us that is the problem. We want his therapy for what could be helpful to us going forward. The Word of God is the same way. And so today I want to talk to you about your vital signs, your spiritual vital signs. How can you know that you're on the right track with God? How can you know that you're spiritually healthy? And if you want to know how your faith is doing, I believe God has a word for you today. I want to invite you to open up your Bibles to James chapter 2, starting in verse 14. James chapter 2, starting in verse 14, God has something to tell us today through his servant James that we need to pay careful attention to. And here's what he says. He says, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. And here in these short verses, God is telling us what spiritual vitality looks like, what the vital signs in our life look like. And I can tell you this, by studying this passage this week, I'm gripped by the fact that this is a message that doesn't get preached often in our churches in North America. This is a message that is set down or set aside or washed over and excused rather than fully proclaimed. But one of the reasons I love being your pastor at Brave is that you want to hear the fullness of God's word and that you want to hear the whole counsel of God's word. And it's my pleasure to bring it today. I mean, if I had to title this sermon, I mean, this sermon is so shocking. I almost entitled this message, Why Most Americans Who Claim to Be Christians Are Going to Hell. That's what I want to title it. I mean, this is really asking, is your faith dead or is it alive? And listen, as you're hearing this message, although you may want to give it to somebody else, listen to it for yourself first. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you first about your own vital signs before you go passing it around to others. And we're going to talk about four spiritual vital signs that you need to pay attention to. And the first is this: pay attention to pointless professions. Pointless professions. Notice what he says. He starts this text with two questions. He says, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith and no works? Second question, can that faith save him? He asks the question, what benefit is it, brothers and sisters, if someone says they have faith but no works? And then the second question is like it. Can a faith like that save a person? Now, sometimes we can learn a little bit about the original language in Greek. This is one of those times. Oftentimes, the word in Greek means the same thing as the word in English, and it's just people pontificating to show you they're smart. But the way questions get asked in the Greek, they get asked in such a way, if you use a certain particle, they always expect a positive answer. And if you use a certain particle, it's always expecting a negative answer. It's kind of like the Brits, the way Brits talk. They always make statements with questions, don't they? Like, this is lovely, isn't it? I mean, that's how they talk. And they're always expecting a positive or a negative answer, but it's rhetorical. What he is asking here is he says, what is the benefit of someone who says that they have faith, but there's no evidence of works in their life? He says this, a faith like that is not able to save a person, can it? And the answer is, no, it cannot. Now, he's going to spell out why. But the first reason he's talking about is pointless professions. Just because you profess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord does not mean that you are saved. So let me give you some scriptural background before all of you get up and leave the church this morning, okay? Let's take a look at what Jesus says, first of all. I want to let the word of God just wash over you. Just listen to what Jesus says. Stop thinking about all your theological convictions and where you fall on the spectrum of Arminianism and Calvinism. All that stuff's pointless because the word of God is what's going to stand forever. So listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount. He tells you to beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. And here's how he says you'll know them. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Of course not. So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Jesus says, good trees, good fruit. Bad trees, bad fruit. If there's bad fruit, it's a bad tree. If there's good fruit, it's a good tree. Notice what he goes on to say. This is Jesus talking. He says this, so then you will know them by their fruits. Now, why is it important to know them by their fruits? Because we ask simple questions sometimes of people. Of acquaintances they have, of people that work with them, of people that go to their school, of someone they know that died. And we'll ask a question like this, are they a Christian or were they a Christian? And oftentimes the response goes something like this. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell, right? It's hard to know if they were a Christian because the Lord knows those who are his, but it's presumptuous of me to make a judgment about whether they were a Christian or not. Not according to the Bible. You'll know them by the fruits. You'll know, like, is there any fruit in their life at all that represents the righteousness of Christ? Well, no. I mean, they were abusive to their spouse. They didn't walk with the Lord. They didn't have a hunger for God. They didn't read their Bible. Then they're not Christian, according to Jesus. According to Jesus, that's what he says. Notice what he goes on to say, as if that's not enough. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Just professing that Jesus is Lord is not enough to get you in. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Vital Signs, from the series Walk Your Talk, exploring how God provides spiritual signs to gauge your faith. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, generous friends like you make programs like this one possible. And when you give a gift in support of Pastor Jeff Ministries today, you're helping spread biblical truth to a world in need. Simply visit us at PastorJeff.com to give. Once again, that website is PastorJeff.com. Now let's get back to today's message to listen to the conclusion of this teaching from God's Word.
As if that's not enough, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Just professing that Jesus is Lord is not enough to get you in. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. He who is walking out the faith will enter. Not who says with their mouth that. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Didn't we do your work? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who what? Practice lawlessness. You're not producing righteousness because you're not of me. Because if you were of me, you would produce righteousness. We went over the parable of the soils last week. Jesus said, if you don't get this parable, how are you going to get any of them? Sower goes out to sow seed. That's the word of God. Some fell upon hard soil. The devil comes and snatches that away. They have a hard heart, doesn't get in. Second soil is just like it. It's rocky soil. It appears to spring up for a while, but it never takes root. And it too withers and dies when trials and tribulation come. Then there's that third, that's the thorny soil. And the thorny soil appears with joy, but the cares of this world, deceitfulness of wealth, all the things of this world choke it out, and it's unfruitful. The first three soils produce no fruit. But when it falls on good soil, what does it produce? A harvest of 30, 60, or even 100-fold. He says this, he who has ears, let him hear. Jesus is saying, I'm the word, and when I'm implanted in you, I will produce a harvest. If I'm in there, it's automatic that I will produce a harvest because there's nothing wrong with me. But if you don't have a heart for me, if you have a hard heart, a rocky heart, a weedy heart, I can't produce anything in you. And don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you're a Christian just because you prayed some prayer or made some profession or filled out a card or walked an aisle or raised your hand or did something. That is not evidence that you know the Lord. That's not saving faith. This is Jesus talking, by the way. What else does he talk about? In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, he says, if, and let's assume for the sake of argument, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you, set you free. How? If I'm continuing in the word. If I'm continuing with Jesus. He says the same thing in John chapter 14. How do you know if someone loves Jesus? How do you know if you love Jesus? Jesus is going to tell you, these are his words. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. How do you know if you love Jesus? You keep his word. You do what he says. How do you know that you don't love Jesus? You don't keep his word. You don't do what he says. That's how Jesus says. That's how I know whether you love me or not. You keep my word, I know you love me. You don't keep my word, I know you don't love me. It's that simple. We ask people, do you love God? Here's what they say. Yeah, of course. Even people that don't keep his word. Now, the Bible makes it clear. Now, if you're not keeping his word, you really don't love the Jesus of the Bible. You're loving some false idea of God that doesn't exist. Or how about John chapter 15? Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, what does he do? He bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You abide in Jesus, you will bear fruit. Every single Christian bears fruit. Every single believer has evidence in their life of fruitfulness, of good works. That's according to Jesus. And we don't have to stop there, but because of time, we do today. It's all throughout the New Testament. John says the same thing. John says it this way in 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. How clear is this? Just let the word of God wash over you. Little children, that's us, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as he, Jesus, is righteous. When you see people practicing righteousness, you know that they're righteous because it's God working through them. The one who practices sin, that's the one who goes and continues to sin over and over and over and over again with no remorse and no repentance, the one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Why did Jesus appear? So you wouldn't keep sinning anymore. That's why he came. So if you're practicing righteousness, you're righteous because you're of the Lord. If you're practicing sin, your father is the devil, according to John. No one who is born of God practices sin. No one who is born of God makes a habit of sinning. No one who is born of God wants to continue to sin. That's what the Bible says. Because his seed, that's Jesus, abides in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now, how clear is this in verse 10? By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. John says, you can know who the children of God are and who the devil are. It's so obvious. Anybody can see this. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. You don't practice righteousness and you don't love people, you're not of the Lord, no matter what you say. That's according to God. That's what God says. That's a litmus test. Jesus is saying it. John is saying it. It's all over. Do you know Peter says the same thing too? Peter says it like this in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. Here's what he says. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. For such is the will of God that by what? Doing good or doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Good works. Well, what about the Apostle Paul? Man, he taught grace alone through faith alone and Christ alone. We're getting there. But then why does Paul say in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourselves to make sure you're in the faith? Why'd he say that? Why wouldn't he just say, make a profession, raise your hand, walk the aisle, come forward, tell people you're a Christian. If you do that, you better examine yourself. You better take a good, long, hard work to see if your life represents the God that you say that you serve. Make sure you're in the faith. Who's he talking to? A church. Christians. Those who call yourself Christians, you better examine yourself to make sure you're in the faith. Why? Because your whole eternity is banking on it. Where you spend your eternity is essential to what you do with what we're talking about today. Now, we read in Romans that it's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. But notice what else he says. He says, but because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. What are you going to be judged on? Your deeds. I thought I was just judged on your deeds. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. I'm out of here. I feel like I'm at a Catholic service where I have to work for my salvation. No, you don't. Let me be crystal clear on what the Bible teaches, and let's put all this together. If you turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and some of you are taking a deep breath right now, like, whew. Here's what it says. It says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and it is what? It is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Wait. You said it was works. No. The gospel is this. It's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's the gospel. Now listen. But like Martin Luther said, but your faith is never alone. Because genuine saving faith is always accompanied by good works. And if you've truly been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, there will be evidence that you've been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, for your good works. First, by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It's a gift of God. It's not by works, so that no one should boast. What's the next verse say? Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we'd walk in them. So there's nowhere in the Bible that says, just pray this prayer. Just ask me into your heart. Just do this religious activity and then live however you want. It's, if you really want to be saved, you cannot save yourself. You can't do good works to get to heaven, because Isaiah 64:6 says that your best works are like filthy rags. You can't be good enough to get to heaven. You can't be American enough to get to heaven. You can't keep the Ten Commandments good enough to get to heaven. There's nothing you can do to get to heaven. Jesus Christ came to demonstrate you can't make it from here to there. He died on the cross for all your sins. There's nothing you can do to get right with God. The only thing you can do is repent of your sin, turn from your sin, and turn to Christ who can save you to the full. But I want to tell you something. And if you do that and you have genuine saving faith, good works will always accompany that. To say, well, I'm definitely saved, but there's no good works. If you haven't been genuinely saved, you just haven't. I knew I was saved when I was 18 because God gave me a love for people I would have never hung out with before. My little clique and my group that I hung out with, my life started expanding. I started to have compassion for and loving people that I didn't have compassion for and love before. And I remember what was going on inside of me. It was God. He was changing my life. And here's the truth. For all of you who are genuinely born again, you know that from the moment you trusted Christ, your life's changing a little bit differently. And here's what the Bible makes clear. You're not going to be perfect from the moment you trust Christ. There's nobody perfect in the Bible except Jesus. This is not about, hey, be perfect and live for God and then he'll accept you. No, this is, you can't be perfect and God's still willing to accept you through repentance and faith. But if you do, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, that will work out your salvation and good works will accompany your faith that you say that you have. There is no such thing as saving faith without changing faith. No such thing. It doesn't exist. Ask somebody, well, was your dad a Christian? Was your mom a Christian? I think so. You know, I remember they prayed a prayer like 20 years ago to trust Christ. What evidence did you see in their life that showed that they had changed? None. That wasn't saving faith. Anybody can say with their lips that Jesus is Lord without a change of heart. Saving faith is a change of heart. Saving faith is Christ, come in and change me. I need you. I want you. You are my Lord. Take over my life. That's saving faith. And saving faith is always accompanied by good works, right? That's the fact. Pointless professions. And I'm not against having people stand to their feet in response to the gospel. We've done it here. And I'm not against people walking an aisle and getting right with the Lord. We've done that here. I'm just saying walking an aisle and raising your hand or standing to your feet does not save you. Christ saves you. It's Jesus that does all the work. Amen? And because there's nothing we can do to get to God, there's going to be nobody in heaven that's bragging about their good works. Like, we're not going to get to heaven like, I'm here, look at all I did. Like, there's nobody. All of us are dead in our transgressions and sins, and God is the one through his Spirit that has to make us alive, and it's not something we do. But if we genuinely have faith that has called out to the Lord and said, change me, God, over time, your life will change. You will not be the same. You're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. You're not saved. Another way of saying it. You're not saved by your works, but you are for sure saved for good works. Let me say it again so I can be crystal clear. You are not saved by doing good works. You can't save yourself by doing good works. If you could, Jesus Christ didn't need to die for you. You're only saved by grace through faith in Christ. That's it. But if you have been saved by grace through faith in Christ, your life will reflect good works, which is the righteousness of Christ coming through you. Not perfectly, but increasingly. And if you don't see that in your life, it should be a warning, blinking light on the dashboard of your spiritual life saying, I don't think I'm saved. You know, it's interesting for me when I talk to parents and I ask them, is your kid saved? Every one of them says yes. Well, it's hard for us to look at our children and be like, I don't know. I don't see righteousness. I don't know. I don't know that they're walking it. I don't know that I see it. But that's the evidence that God wants to see. Right? If somebody's been genuinely saved, they change. In that moment, they're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Pointless professions don't do that. And we have scores of people across our land that have prayed a prayer or been to an evangelistic crusade or felt their heart strangely warmed or sensed God in the service or sang a worship song or will say, God's near me, I know he is, who have never experienced the saving faith of Christ who's come into their life and transformed them. How is it that God of the universe could come into your life and you stay the same? It's impossible according to the word of God. So here's a question. Do you have a faith in Christ or do you have a pointless profession? Because a faith that's a pointless profession, it cannot save you. It can't save you. If there's no righteousness to accompany the faith that you say that you have, you're just mincing words.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Vital Signs, from the series Walk Your Talk, exploring how God provides spiritual signs to gauge your faith. Before we say goodbye, we want to remind you that when you give a gift to keep teachings like this one going out to you and others, you're helping spread biblical truth to a world in need. Simply visit us at PastorJeff.com to give. That's PastorJeff.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for email updates from Brave to be among the first to hear about new resources to equip you in your walk. Thanks again for joining us today.